I hope you're ready to hear God speak this morning as well to you and me. And I want you to have your Bible open before you, or your hearts open before the word of the Lord this morning. And it'd be easy, as we're in the book of Proverbs, to just read this one proverb and say, okay, I got that one. But I want you to leave the word open so that I can help you walk through several other proverbs and other passages today and just see how God speaks to us about this topic, godly choices. You know, every day we're making choices. You're choosing right now to open your Bible or not. You're choosing to open your heart or not to hear the word of God. And every day we're making thousands upon thousands of choices. And what's fascinating, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but life, L-I-F-E, the life that we live is really centered on two little letters, the I and the F. If I make this choice or if I make that choice. I mean, you think about that. Your life is resting on choices you and I have made throughout life. We chose one of two paths. We chose, hey, listen, if I choose this school to go to, if I choose this career to pursue, if I accept this company's offer, if I reject this company's offer, if I choose to marry him, if I'll say I do, if we, listen, choose to live on this side of town or if we choose to live on the other side of the tracks, if we choose to honor and obey our mom and our dad, that's an important choice to make. Amen? All the parents said, amen. You see, life centers on that, right? If. What choice do you need to make today? Anybody wrestling with a choice? I mean, you're wrestling with what to do this week. A particularly, maybe it's a big decision to make. Could happen to have something to do with your career, with your business. Could have something to do with, well, how am I going to discipline this child? How am I going to, hey, listen, am I going to admit I was wrong to my children? And I need forgiveness as much as they do from the Lord. See, life is full of choices. And I don't know about you, but I want to make godly choices. I want to make the right choice. I'm raising my children, hopefully, to make the right choices. You know, as parents, we're supposed to give them roots and wings. We give them roots so that they're grounded in God's truth. They know the principles. They know the precepts. They know, thus saith the Lord. So that then when they make a choice and they flap those wings, and one day they will leave the nest. They're destined for that. That's why we have them for a short period of time, and then those arrows get flung out, and when they're out there, they're going to make choices, and mom and dad, you won't be there. But we want them to make the right choices then. And so we give them those roots. We give them those wings so that they can fly and soar. We want them to soar like an eagle, not flap like a turkey. Amen? But see, the amazing thing is they're going to make lots of choices. Now, listen, in this day and age in which we live, for some reason there's this pervasive mindset that we're not responsible for our choices. Now, that's not true. We would say this phrase frequently with our children, raising them. Our actions have consequences. Our choices have consequences. We are responsible. We are accountable for the choices that we make. There's a mindset today that you know what, you're not accountable for your choices. Some are victims, right, of the choices of others. And as a result of that, you're not responsible for the choices you make. That's not biblical. Everyone will give an account for the choices they have made or the things they have chosen not to do. But as we realize that, moms and dad, nurturing that in the hearts of our children, that the question is, are we modeling before them godly choices? Are we choosing to do the right thing? Are we making wise choices based on God's word? Are we navigating our life? Men, the way we lead our home. Moms, the way we nurture the faith in the hearts of the children. Are we modeling before them how to make a wise choice, a godly choice, a good choice? Because that's what this proverb is going to say to us today in chapter 22. I hope you found it. Chapter 22, verse 1. We're going to stand. We're going to read this very important proverb today. And then I'm going to show you some other proverbs that go along with it, even in the context and elsewhere in Scripture. And here's the question this morning. Am I making godly choices? We're making them all day long. And God wants us to make the right choice. Hear the word of the Lord. A good name. Notice this. I underline it in my Bible. is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. Notice the next verse. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Father, Lord, this is some really important wisdom for every day of life. Lord, I pray your spirit right now would be our teacher. I pray our hearts would be receptive to hear you speak. God, I pray we would choose, even right now, God, I want to hear you speak. God, I want to see how to apply this truth in my heart. God, I pray we would choose to be attentive to what you may be saying to us. And Lord, I pray we would choose rightly. Lord, there's some before me that have made choices in life. I have as well, Lord. Choices that, Lord, we regret. And God, I thank you today that there's grace and mercy for us. Lord, to realize that we can make a choice to give that to you. And in humility say, God, we need you to help us. We made a mess. And you're the creator. You can do that. You can fix things. And so, God, we give you our choices. We give you our hearts. God, right now, would you speak to us so that our lives will be changed? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. A good name, notice this, is to be chosen. Now, the Proverbs give us this advice, this wisdom on how to live wisely. And what we need to understand is this wisdom is a choice for you to apply. You can't say, that's interesting. I'm glad I know that. Wisdom. Proverbs is something that you're supposed to put into action. We're supposed to make a choice. To not choose is to make a choice in itself, right? That's rejecting what is wise. And so there's two paths typically in life that we get to choose from. The wise path, the foolish path, as the book of Proverbs teaches up to this point. And so the question is, are we choosing a good name? Because all of us have a name. You're named for someone. You're named by your parents. None of us, did anybody choose your name? No, none of us chose our name. Someone chose our name for us. You know, when we named our sons, we chose a name from Scripture and we chose a name from history. Now, that happens sometimes. Their names are chosen from someone in the faith, in the Scriptures, or their name is chosen from someone who might be famous. I wouldn't want to be named after someone who is infamous, right? I mean, that wasn't famous. I mean, that might not be good. Some of us are named after family. I mean, I do have a Christopher Lee Thompson II. The first one didn't come out so well, so we're hoping the prototype, you know, the second one's a little better. Yeah. And then when we had a girl, man, we had all them boys. We had all those girl names saved up, right? And so we gave her four names, right? Because she needed a lot of extra names. You know, we felt bad. I mean, you stop and think about it. Before your mom and dad named you, who knows how many names they considered and they wrestled back and forth. Well, if it's a girl, we're going to name her this. If it's a boy, well, let's name him that. And they probably had some interesting discussions even about that along the way. Maybe compromising and saying, well, you choose the first name, I'll choose the middle name or something like that. But we all are named. None of us chose our names. Now, here's what we are choosing. We're not choosing whether our name was good that they chose. We're choosing whether our name is good by our choices, right? The choices you and I make are whether our name is a good name or not. It's our reputation. It's who we are when we're not there and our name is brought up. I mean, someone will mention our name and, oh, I know him. Oh, I know her. Oh, he's mean. Oh, he's gracious. Oh, she's kind. Oh, he's caring. Oh, man, he's dependable. Man, he's lazy. Well, our names carry some weight to them. And that weight is the result of all the choices we have made. The choices that we make day in and day out. The choices that you and I make. Listen, not just in the house of the Lord, and you better be careful what you vow, the choices that you say you're going to make. Better follow through on them, right? So many make choices and they say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then when we don't follow through, that in and of itself exposes and reveals something about ourselves. And that weight goes forward then with our name. Let me show you something over in the book of Proverbs. Right in the margin of your Bible, right here, write 10:7. That's Proverbs 10:7. And then flip over there with me for just a moment. I want to show you why this name is so important that we want to choose. Earlier in the book of Proverbs, the wise man had said this over in chapter 10. The memory of the righteous is blessed. When we're gone and they mention our name, I want them to say, praise the Lord. What a great and awesome brother in Christ. What a great sister in Christ. But the name of the wicked will rot. I mean, there's just certain names. If I mention their name, the weight that goes with that name is either a blessing or a blight, right? It's either something that enriches someone's life or, oh no, don't say that name. I mean, the name Hitler is a powerful name, right? Think about what that name carries with it when it's mentioned. The name Spurgeon, for those who love great preaching, was a powerful name that carried a lot of weight with it, even in his day. Listen, even in his day, when he stood against the Baptist in England and said, we're not going down that slippery slope, we're going to take a stand. And there are a lot of, even in his union, the Baptist union there in England, who said, oh, we're not going with you, Spurgeon. Feel like that's today with our own Southern Baptist Convention. Our names carry some weight to them, and it's the consequences of the decisions that we make day in and day out. This week, you and I are making decisions, and we are choosing whether our name is a good name or not. I mean, that's how people know us. I mean, just stop and think. If a headline was written and your name was in the headline, think of all the weight that would go along with it, because that's your identity. Now, this is the scary thing. You see, when you go through Scripture, what you find are some really good names of individuals who took hard stands, even in their community, even in their day and age in which they lived. They chose to make hard decisions in honoring of the Lord. And sometimes they walked by faith, believing. And as it says over in the book of Hebrews, they established a good testimony. In fact, even some, it says at the end of Hebrews 11, that they walked by faith. They didn't receive the promises in this life, but they still had a good testimony. I mean, even if you and I don't get everything God promised right here, right now, but awaits us, will you still be faithful and true? I mean, our name, our reputation will reveal that. You know what's amazing? There are some in Scripture that had a good name and were despised for it, like Daniel. Daniel's name, when they needed someone to interpret a dream, hey, listen, we're going to go get this Daniel, and he can interpret dreams. He can tell you even what the dream is. The Almighty has given him that power. And there were those who despised him and his name. There were others who were dependable servants. There were those who stood up in times of difficulty, and God favored them in an amazing way. There's even some Gentiles like Cornelius. He had a good reputation, it tells us in the book of Acts chapter 10. He had a good reputation. His name meant something even in his community. Now why this is important to understand is because there's a temptation today to make a name for yourself. The devil will tempt you to do that. The world entices us to do that. In fact, when the devil tempted Jesus, when you read over there in Luke and in Matthew's gospel, Luke 4, Matthew 4, when you read about the temptations that Satan came and to Jesus, the name, he would tempt Satan would tempt Jesus, and he would say, listen, since you are the Son of God, not if you are the Son of God. I know that's how our English versions translate that, but literally in the Greek, it's a conditional phrase, and it says, since or because you are the Son of God, do this, right? Because you are the Son of God, go ahead, turn these stones into bread. You can do this because that's who you are. Go ahead, define for yourself that you will be the provider rather than trusting in the Father. You're starving. You've waited 40 days and 40 nights. You've got to be hungry. Go ahead, just turn these rocks into biscuits and feed and satisfy yourself. Define for yourself, identify yourself that you are truly the Son of God by doing this. And of course, Jesus didn't fall for that temptation. He said, listen, just go ahead, throw yourself down and see if God won't dispatch the angels, as he says in his word. But go ahead, presume on God, do this for yourself. since you are the Son of God. Since you're the Son of God, listen, you don't have to go to that cross. Listen, you can just bow before me right now, and all these kingdoms will be yours. Just worship me. But Jesus didn't take the bait. All of the temptations that you and I face in this world are just rewrapping these temptations. And it's the world who wants us to define for ourselves who we are, rather than being as God has defined us as who we are. It's a constant challenge. Our name is our identity. It's how we're known. It's our reputation. It's the result of choices that we have made all throughout our life. And sometimes the choice that we're going to make immediately in that moment. And a good name, it says, is to be chosen. We make that choice every day that we are making individual choices. Now, how is it a good name? How do I make it a good name? What are the key factors behind a good name? If it represents my life, if it represents me, if it speaks of me when I'm not present, if it embodies my reputation. This is why the Word of God is so important. See, the wise man realizes that he can't make a name for himself. He humbles himself before Almighty God. He recognizes who God is. And he chooses, listen, to have a clear conscience and to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And so, because his name matters to him, the decisions that he makes on a daily basis are influenced by the truth of God's Word. And he lives his life right before God's eyes. Beloved, if that's all we do, then we don't have to worry about what the world says. We will do the right thing and bear the right testimony before them. But it's a choice. Every single one of us is making with all the little choices in life. Now, we get to choose whether our name is going to be good. Now, how do we do that? There's one way he says right here. A good name is chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. How do I choose a good name? I choose God's favor instead of what the world has to offer. I mean, there's only two options, God or mammon, right? Choose. Who do you want? I want God's favor, amen? I want God's smile on my life. I want God to be well pleased with the choices that I am making on a daily basis. The world will offer all the riches. The devil brings all those things and puts them before us. It's a huge choice. Listen, all the riches, fat wads of cash, luxurious homes, all that the world has to offer. Here, take this and go ahead, sell yourself out for it. People do it today. Sell themselves out with social media and just more touches, more followers, all those things. It's amazing to make a name for themselves, all that they will take that the world has to offer so that they can be defined however they want to define themselves. In fact, the choice is between the world's offer or God's favor. Now, there was a man, his name was Charles Ponzi. He lived in the early 1900s, and he had had some minor financial crimes and had spent some time in jail. But in the 1920s, he began offering investors a 50% return on their money in just 45 days. Sounds pretty good. 100% return in 90 days. Man, too good to be true. And money poured in. He took that money and from the new investors, he paid off some of the older investors. But he also funded a lavish lifestyle. But by the time his fraud was uncovered in August of 1920, the investors had lost $20 million in the 1920s. And five banks had failed. As a result of that, Charles Ponzi spent 3 years in prison. He was deported to Italy. He died penniless in 1949 at the age of 66. And everyone knows his name whenever you hear of a Ponzi scheme. Kind of like the federal government. Never mind. All right, we need to move on. What they're doing with our money, taxes. You see, his name carries on because of his choices that he made. And so will mine and so will yours. Long after we're gone, there'll be a memory of us. But what will it be? It will be the result of the choices you're making today. the choices you are making this week. Little choices, big choices. And we're all making them. Now listen, why would I choose the world's riches? What does it have for me? What does it avail for me? Why would I choose it over God's favor? We should choose God's favor. Look over in chapter 23. Just flip your Proverbs. Flip it just one page here. Look over at chapter 23 and verse 5. Will you set your eyes this morning? Listen, will you set your eyes on that which is not? Well, what is not? It's right there before me. No, riches are not. You see, riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. We chase after wealth and think if we'll just add this and get this and have this, you know what? Something that, man, I get more bling, get more bucks. And you know what? It'll be better for me. We chase and pour ourselves out for that, but why set our eyes on that? It doesn't last forever. And yet that's the option. God or mammon. And Jesus said, you got to choose. There's only two options. You got to pick which one you're going to serve today. Are you going to be a servant of one? Because you can't love both of them. You have to choose. You can't love the world and serve the Lord. You can't. But why? Listen, a good name is chosen. And a good name chooses God's favor. Now, I want you to understand this. Over in the book of Genesis chapter 11, and chapter 12, what we discover there is after the flood, God had gave the same commandment. Basically, he told Adam and Eve, listen, be fruitful now and fill the earth. And the people didn't obey that command. In fact, what they did, they stayed congregated in this place and they began to build this tower called Babel, the Tower of Babel. And instead of obeying the Creator's mandate to manifest his image all throughout the created order, they started to make a name for themselves and build a tower and they started to worship the sun, the moon, and the stars, and they rejected clear instructions. They didn't even realize, listen, they wouldn't have been there if God hadn't shown favor to Noah and helping him build that ark to save the seed. Well, in the midst of that, of course, God judges the Tower of Babel and it brings that confusion with all the multiple languages and dispersing the people. But then in chapter 12, you have the picture of someone quite different from all those 11, and his name is Abram. And God saw him and chose him. God made a choice. And what's fascinating is what it says there, the promise that God made to Abram, and I want you to see that today, because God favored him, and it's an example for you and for me of why you and I should choose to live by faith like Father Abraham and live like him in such a way that, you know what, I'm going to choose rightly today. Now notice what happens in chapter 12 of Genesis. The Lord saw, he said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, favor you, listen, and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You see, what you have is a picture here of one who, listen, chosen by God, favored by God, and chose to honor and obey what God said. That's the life of faith. The just live by faith. We live for the favor of God. God saw Abraham, chose him, identified him, said, listen, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to favor you, and I will make your name great. So many people are toiling, trying to make their name great, trying to make a name for themselves. You ever heard that phrase before? Go make a name for yourself. Well, here's the picture scripturally. You and I don't make a name for ourselves. God makes a name for us. And he makes a name for us as we make his name great. That's the choice we have to make. Like Father Abraham, when he lived through life. Everywhere Father Abraham went, you know what he did? He built an altar. Over and over again, you read that in Genesis. Everywhere he went, he identified, he recognized the presence of God and worshiped him and obeyed him. In fact, he had this little nephew that went with him, and it was amazing. Even the choice that was made there when they came to the promised land, and Abraham said, God, I'm going to choose you. Go ahead, Lot, you pick first. Lot saw all the lushness of the valley, but Sodom and Gomorrah were there too. But he saw all the lushness of it, all that the worldly riches, I guess you'd say, right? And look what he got along with it. But Abraham didn't. He let Lot choose first, and then God said, okay, now my turn. Let me show you what I got for you. And he showed him. God's favor was upon him. Now, don't get me wrong. Abraham didn't always make the right choice. He didn't make the right choice when he went down to Egypt in the midst of the famine rather than trusting in the Lord to provide. And he put his wife Sarai in danger, made a terrible choice there. She had to choose whether to fear God or not. She chose to fear God. That's why she's commended over in 1 Peter chapter 3 for her faith in trusting the Lord, even when her husband didn't make a good choice. That's hard, ladies, isn't it? But that's the picture in Scripture. To trust in God, to believe in him, to rest in his principles and promises and precepts, and to build your life on them, walking by faith. And see, everyone in this room has to make a choice. Are you going to live for what the world has to offer, its riches? Listen, some people will sell themselves out for a bowl of porridge. They'll sell their birthright. They'll sell it out. Don't do it. Live according to what God's word says. Live for his favor, the smile of God upon your life. Men, lead your home to live for God's favor. And we do that choosing to have a good name in all the little choices we are making each and every day. And as you choose that, God's favor rests upon you. Now notice this in verse 2 of chapter 21 of Proverbs. Chapter 22. Notice what it says. The rich and the poor have this in common. Well, they don't have mammon in common, right? They don't, because one is rich and one is poor. But this is what they do have in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Listen, yes, some have more than others. It may be the result of their choices that they've made in life. Some may have made some wise choices investment-wise. Some have made some choices to maybe work hard. Some may have made some choices that as a consequence they're in the poorhouse. We don't know what choices they made to be in that position, but what we do know is the Lord made them all. And as the Lord made them all, and the emphasis is on his creation, listen, that he is the creator, here's what's important to know about choices you and I make. Anybody made any choices they regret? I raised my hand twice. Yeah, I made a lot. Sons, listen to me. I made some choices in life I regret. But there's a choice that we can make today. I can say that and be humble before God and say, God, forgive me for those choices I've made. I regret those. But your throne is a throne of grace. And you're a God that gives mercy new every morning. And as the creator, the one who made me, I know this. That in Christ, I can be a new creation and things can be made new. In fact, God, those who love you and who are called according to your purposes, here's the amazing thing. You can take our choices and you begin to work them together for good. Good. I want that. I don't know about you. I want that. But it takes humility. It makes me humble in myself, realizing, you know what? You know, I'm not a self-made man. Look what I've done. That's my pride. That's hubris, right? I've made a name for myself. No. Everything I am, God's because of your blessing, because of your favor, because of what you've done in my life. And I just want to glorify you. You see, the rich and the poor have this in common. They don't have the financial assets in common, but what they do have in common is there's one who made them. Praise God, there's one who can remake them too, amen? And can make something of their lives. In fact, what's amazing is if you read the verse preceding this in chapter 21, the last verse, one of my favorite verses, because it has to do with choices. You see, it says there that the horse is prepared for the day of battle. The deliverance is of the Lord. You see, this highlights the tension that you find all throughout Scripture. That the horse is prepared for the day of battle. When I was a soldier in the army, I was an officer and I had my platoon and we trained for battle. We didn't really want to go into war. But if that was necessary, you wanted to be ready for that day of battle. We made individual choices on the way we would train and the things that we would train with, our equipment and firing missiles at fixed-wing aircraft, all kinds of stuff. We had to make choices over and over and over again, choices to train, choices to be physically fit, to get up in the morning at Reveille and do all those fun exercises and just run and sing and be happy at 5:30 in the morning. Oh, what a joy. If you didn't choose to get up, you had someone, a nice sergeant, who was helping you make the right choice. We made those choices for a day of battle. But here's the amazing thing. Deliverance is of the Lord. Here's the tension, ready? We're chosen by God, but free. In the scripture, there's this tension about the free will of man and the sovereignty of God. And the amazing thing is, I don't have the opportunity to tease that all right now because of time, but let me just explain this really simple. God is so awesome that he is so sovereign and in control of all things that man has this will to exercise these free choices, and yet God still accomplishes all of his purposes. It's amazing. I can't figure it out. My mind can't sometimes wrap it around that and figure it out. One day I look forward to getting to heaven and asking those questions. How does that all work? And if you seemingly have it figured out, stand back, because God's incomprehensible and his ways are so much higher, his thoughts are so much higher. Stand back in wonder and worship that you don't have it figured out would be a better position to take. He is sovereign. I'll shout that every single day. He is the King of glory and he reigns and rules. But he does give man choices to make. He doesn't force anyone to make a decision. You freely choose. God won't force you to choose to make a good name, to have a good name. That's your choice. But if you'll choose God's favor, I can promise you it will be a good name. It will be a good name all throughout eternity because we chose the right thing in life. And see, that's a choice we make each and every day. I love reading Tolkien. And if you ever read The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, what you find there with Gandalf and speaking to the little hobbits, it's interesting. He speaks to them as they wrestle with this big battle that they get to be a part of. Oh, isn't it awesome, Gandalf? We're here. And Gandalf says, you know, it's not just the one big decision that you make in life. It's actually all those thousands of little decisions every day. The little things in life, those are really the decisions that matter. And that confronts every single one of us all throughout this week. Are we going to choose the little things in life that have sometimes as much weight as the big battle, if we really realize it? You see, here's the amazing thing. You may be on a path today. It might be a path of bad choices. You're going down the wrong path, not honoring the authority in your life, not honoring God who put that authority in your life. And you're making those choices going down the wrong path. You know, it's interesting. When we make that choice, it's so much easier to make another choice just like it and keep going down that path. You notice that? Amen goes right there. Or, oh my, that's me, right? Here's the amazing thing in Scripture. It teaches, you know what, when we repent, which means we don't just turn around. It's actually, we march in a different direction. We start marching in a different direction because we heard the voice of God and we turned. We wanted his favor and we saw his love and mercy reaching towards us. And we say, no, I'm going to make a right choice. And it's the same way. Those choices which are easier to make and when you go the wrong way, it's the same way when we make the right choice. And I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to honor God's authority in my life. I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to respond in a mean way when I'm injured, when I'm harmed. I'm going to speak love. I'm going to speak truth in love. When we begin to make choices and start going in the right direction, it gets easier every time. And soon, you don't even think about some of those choices you used to make because you're making all the right choices, godly choices, going a way that honors the Lord. It just takes one choice to change that. You realize that? Wow. What an amazing thing. And see, God's grace and mercy is reaching to you and me today and saying, don't you want to do that? I do. I do. You see, that's available today. I can choose right now. You can choose right now. Some decision you regret, some people around you may not even know it, but you carry the guilt of it. You don't have to carry that any longer because of the gospel. See, here's the gospel. You and I made those choices which
meant Jesus had to come and make every right choice and then choose to die on the cross for all of our wrong choices. Wow, what an amazing God. To pay the penalty we deserved. And because he was faithful to do that, to always make the right choice, he could offer the sacrifice that God would accept and pay the penalty that our wrong choices deserve. So that if you and I will come to that point that we'll bend the knee and say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I've made wrong choices. I've chosen my way rather than your way. But God, I want to choose your way today. The Bible says if we'll humble ourselves and repent and put our faith and trust in him, the Spirit of God convicting us of our sin. God, I can't save myself, but I see Jesus who did die for me. The Bible says our life can be made new like that. One choice changes, not just to your eternal destiny, it changes things now. By the way you and I approach life, the way we see life. Now we have the light of God's word. We have the presence of God's spirit, one to help us with these choices that we have to make each and every day. Wow. It's available. Hey, rich or poor today, God made you. And God can make things new if you'll make the choice to respond to the spirit speaking to your heart. The word has come forth. What will I do with it? The amazing thing is I hope you'll make a right choice. And choose God, his favor, and his ways. Because when you do, it'll be a good name.